for you to turn to Romans chapter 14. I want to talk to you today about three things. And we're going to read what those three things are in Romans 14. I put peace and joy as the title because those are the two main things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. Peace and joy. Why? Well, to be honest, I think our world could use a little more peace and joy. I think each of us individually needs some peace and joy in our lives. But I want to read to you from Romans 14, verse 17 first. And this is what it says. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat and drink. It's about peace and joy and righteousness. Now, before we get into the peace and joy part, let's talk about the righteousness part. Because that's really important to this text. It's really important to the kingdom of God. But I want to point out that Romans 14 and Romans 13 and all of Romans and Jesus and Paul have been redefining for us what righteousness is. You see, in the Old Testament, righteousness was doing or not doing certain things. In fact, there are 600, and if my memory serves correctly, 13 laws in the Old Testament that Moses gave to help the people understand what righteousness was. Now, some of those laws we still think are very important. Love God. Put God first. Love your neighbor. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. Those things are important. Those things are things that we still say, yeah, you need to, for the most part, not do those things. Don't do those things. Love God, love people, and don't do certain things. But it became legalistic. And that's where Jesus and Paul come into play. You see, what happened was a lot of those laws were laws like, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, how do you do that? Well, certain people who had religious authority got to define for everyone what it meant to keep the Sabbath day holy. You can only walk a certain number of steps. You can only carry something that weighs a certain amount of weight. You can only do so much on the Sabbath day. Because if you do more than that, then you're not keeping it holy. You're working, and it's supposed to be a day of rest. Now, some of the laws in the Old Testament are laws like don't eat shellfish, don't eat pork, don't wear clothing made of two different kinds of fabric. Did you know it's called an abomination if you wear clothing made of two different kinds of fabric? The same way God says certain kinds of sexual sins are an abomination. It's the same kind of word, the same word used to say you are that way if you wear a polyester blend shirt. The rules for righteousness became unbearable. So Jesus comes along. And Jesus says, God didn't make these rules for men to be burdened by. He made them for structure, and he made them for understanding. And Jesus changes most of the rules. The disciples walk everywhere, and they walk on a Sabbath. They pick food and eat it on a Sabbath. Jesus heals people on a Sabbath. All things that have been written out as sin because they were not righteous. Well, Jesus comes along and says, here is what righteousness is. Righteousness is loving God. Righteousness is loving your neighbor as yourself. When you do those two things, when you love God and when you love your neighbor, you will do the right thing. See, righteousness is a legal term. It's a term that's used in court, in the court before God. God declares people righteous or unrighteous based on whether they love him and love others, not based on whether they ate shellfish or wore a polyester cotton blend shirt. God declares righteousness through Jesus Christ. And so that is where we're going to start today. In Romans 14, Jesus begins by telling us something, or not Jesus, Paul. Paul wrote Romans, not Jesus. Paul begins by telling us something that sounds and goes against what many of us were taught all our lives. Did you know? And I'm going to read verse 1. As for the one who is weak in their faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person only eats vegetables. You see, we're taught, I was taught growing up, that the best person, the most righteous person, the person who is the most like God is the one who follows the rules the best. More than that, the one who sets up more rules for himself or herself and follows all those rules is the one who is most like God. But Paul calls that kind of person weak in their faith. You see, Paul will later say in Galatians that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not to be set in bondage to rules and laws and restrictions, but we get to live in freedom. Now, what defines or refines that freedom so that we just don't go out and sin willy-nilly? I like that word, by the way, willy-nilly. The fruit of the Spirit is what guides us. So, and this may ruffle some feathers, drinking alcohol is not a sin. The Bible never says it is. In fact, in several places, the Bible gives it as a prescription for certain things. Paul tells Timothy to drink wine because of his stomach. Jesus and the disciples drink wine at the Last Supper. Drinking alcohol is not a sin. Being a drunkard, losing self-control, is a sin. You see the difference there. The mature Christian says, I have self-control. Therefore, I will not overeat or overindulge or overdrink. The mature Christian says, I have the freedom to do these things, but I also know that the Holy Spirit will give me guidance and strength to not overdo these things. I don't have a propensity to drink alcohol. I have the propensity to overeat. And that's called gluttony. But gluttony is also overindulgence, giving yourself over to things and the things you like more than you should. So in some places, gluttony is talked about as eating. But in some places, gluttony is talking about doing things that you like that are good too much. Too much. Sacrificing your relationship with others because you indulge too much. What Paul is saying in Romans 14 is that the mature Christians, those who understand self-control, those who understand the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, and those sorts of things, are not to pass judgment on the weaker brothers or sisters who have to implement rules and restrictions for themselves. You see, judgment is something that weaker brothers and sisters do. Judgment is something that we pass, that we give to others, that we put on others to weigh them down when we think they're not good enough. It's something that weaker brothers and sisters will do to mature believers, and sometimes mature believers will do it right back. There's this tendency to judge. And especially in Paul's day, this is the context for what we read in Romans 14, 17. In Paul's day, people would offer sacrifices to idols, to Caesar, to other idols, to Artemis, to other gods or goddesses. And then they would take what had been offered and they would sell it in the marketplace to raise money for those temples and those groups of people. Paul says in Romans that it's okay to eat the meat that was offered to those idols. It's okay. That's not a problem. However, some people thought that it was. Some people thought that eating meat sacrificed to idols was a sin. So Paul comes along and Paul says, no, it's not. But if you think it is in your conscience, in your heart, don't do it. And for those of you who are mature and who can eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols, don't do it in front of those who cannot. That causes them to stumble. And then he says what he says in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It doesn't matter if you eat the meat sacrificed to idols. It may be cheaper. You may be able to afford it better. It doesn't matter if you drink alcohol. That's not the issue of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not the rules and restrictions and regulations. The kingdom of God is righteousness, loving God and loving others. But it's also two other things. It's peace and it's joy. Now, let me be perfectly honest with you. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard some of this. I struggle with peace and joy. I have, in my past, struggled with severe anxiety and depression. And now it's the result of some things that happened to me when I was 7, 8, 9 years old. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I can't, honestly. I had an aunt who hurt me really badly, physically, emotionally, sexually. And she set me on this path of depression and anxiety. And I struggled with it. And to be honest, I still struggle with it from time to time. I have a psychiatrist who's got me on some medicine that helps. And I see a therapist that I talk to who helps me work through the truth about myself, the truth about God, and the truth about other people. But I struggle with peace and joy because of the anxiety and the depression. And I wonder if sometimes you may struggle with peace and joy as well. And when I say peace, I don't mean peace like you just feel happy. And I don't mean peace like what we're hoping happens with Iran. And what we hope will happen with Gaza and Lebanon. When I say peace, I'm talking about something much broader and greater. The word in Hebrew is shalom. And we're going to talk about this word a lot over the next few weeks. Shalom. What does shalom mean? Shalom is not just a feeling. And it's not just a state of being, like you're just happy all the time. Shalom is understanding that God is in control. Shalom is understanding that God loves you. And when you understand that God loves you, it creates in you this understanding that being at odds with the world is okay. That being at odds with other people who have different convictions is okay. That's why we can have peace with other Christian denominations and other world religions. Not because we're all right, but because God is in us and has given us an understanding of who we are in Him. Shalom, peace, is about knowing who you are in God and knowing who God is. And joy. Joy is not just the smile on your face. Joy is not just the ability to be happy all the time and pretend like everything is okay. How many of you is everything okay all the time? Wow, not one hand. I agree. Sometimes some things go wrong. Dave said no. Things go wrong sometimes. I remember several years ago now, I think it was 2 years ago now, Piper had a great day. If you don't know Piper, she is an absolute joy to be around. She's happy, she's fun, she can be funny, she's sweet. We were having a good day. And then in the afternoon, me and Melissa had to run out, and we've got older kids, so we let them watch them from time to time so that we can run out. And she started talking about her chest hurting. She started talking about having some trouble breathing. And it was August. There was some harvesting going on, and sometimes that can affect your breathing. And so we understood, but we knew we wouldn't be home for a while. So we told the older ones to watch her. And when we got home, Piper's lips were blue. And her throat was collapsing every time she would breathe. So we called 911 because we were very concerned about Piper. Turns out they took her to the hospital, took her to Anderson, and then took her on to Children's Hospital because they were concerned about her. It turns out she had an asthma attack, and she had never had asthma before. So fast forward to Friday night, and we're having a party for Logan. It's Logan's birthday party, and we're having a fire. I have allergies to every single tree that's known to man. So anytime there's a fire, my allergies act up. Well, Piper started having some trouble breathing. So this time, we're prepared. We give her her inhaler, give her two puffs, let her breathe it in, and she's okay. In the midst of the fear, it's hard to have joy, isn't it? But when you know what you're supposed to do, it's easier to react and to not lose your cool and to not lose composure. Now, for the story, Melissa never lost her composure. I don't know if I did. Like, I'm afraid I did at a couple points, just kind of lose control. Like, get shaky and scared. But Melissa is always in control. And she was able to tell the doctor or the EMS exactly what was going on and have conversations with them. But in the middle of all of that, it's hard to have joy, isn't it? You don't even think about joy when you're in the midst of a trial. You don't think about, hey, I'm supposed to be happy. Let me go get the EMS workers a cup of coffee or something. You just don't think about that kind of thing. But when you know what you're supposed to do, it's easier to remember to be joyful. And that's what we're going to close with this time. God has told us what to do. Jesus has told us what to expect. And what we are to expect is trials and tribulations. But we also are to expect an abundant life. It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Know that you will have trials and tribulations, but you're also supposed to experience this abundant life. So what do we do? Well, according to Jesus and according to Paul, we don't make more rules and regulations for people to follow. We don't try to redefine righteousness by our own standards. But instead, we define it the way that Jesus defines it for his disciples, loving God and loving others. And when you do that, when you love God and when you do what's best for others, it's easier to have peace and joy. Does that make sense? Good. Good. Well, I want to close with a prayer. We're going to have a song, and then I'll pray. We'll have a time of invitation where you're welcome to come down front, and I'll pray with you if you would like for me to pray. I will talk with you if you have something to talk about. If you've never followed Jesus before, and you're kind of wanting some of that peace and joy, I'd love to introduce him to you. He helps me. And he is my source of peace and joy. And if you've never been baptized and you want to know what that's about, I'd love to talk with you about that. Why do we do that? What does it mean? Let's talk about it. And if you're looking for a new church home, looking for a place where you can invest your time and your abilities and your gifts and your passions and your talents, we'd love to invite you to join us here. We've got a lot going on, and we could use you. So whatever's on your heart today, please feel free to respond. And I'll be down front while we sing the song, and then I'll close with a prayer.